Mark chapter 15, and we'll read from verse 1 to 38. It's a bit ambitious, I know, but we'll do our best to do the 38 verses. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answering said to him, "You say so. You say it." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Are you answering nothing? Behold how many things they witness against you." But Jesus yet answered nothing. So that Pilate marvelled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will you then that I shall do unto him whom you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil has he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it upon his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one, Simon a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted, the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. It was the third hour when they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, you that destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend down from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, "Behold, he calls Elias." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on reed and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Speak to us, we pray, tonight. Open your word to us, we pray, in Jesus. Mark's account is quite brief and to the point. Maybe Mark was there. He was the fellow, we believe, that when he ran away, when Jesus was arrested, had just a sheet around him, and they got hold of him, and he slipped out of the sheet and ran away naked. Certainly Mark himself was an associate of Peter. Then maybe if Peter is giving him his record of what he saw, Peter probably didn't see the whole thing. John was at the cross, and so Peter might not have seen all of the things that happened. So you don't get the dying thief repenting in Mark's Gospel. Jesus is brought straightway in the morning. They're not going to hang around. As soon as morning has come, it's business hours, as far as the Romans are concerned. And they want a death penalty verdict. They can't put him to death legally. The Romans won't allow them.
Right.
They want it done properly. They want a death penalty. And straightway, the chief priests, they hold a consultation, listen to this, with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. They're all there. And bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. They're all involved. Some are not willing. We know that Nicodemus was against it. We know that Joseph of Arimathea, who was one of the council, he begged for the body of Jesus. And it says in the scripture that he was not consenting with them. He didn't consent to it.
That's right.
But he was there. They were all there. The whole council. And they bound Jesus and took him away. And in verse 3, just jumping a verse for the moment, the chief priests accuse him of many things. And this comes up again and again. He answered nothing. What sort of things did they say? Mark doesn't say. Mark's account is brief. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 and verse 2, it says, "We found this fellow perverting the nation." They're saying this to Pilate.
Yes.
"We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is a king." There is a death penalty there somewhere if he's going to be found guilty of treason.
Yes.
Because the Romans decided who was going to be the king of the Jews.
Right.
King Herod was there under Roman say-so. This could be a treasonable offence. Of course, Jesus had not forbidden to give tribute to Caesar. He had actually said, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar." They twisted it. And in John 18, verse 29, Pilate asked, "What accusation are you bringing against this man?" And they say, "If he were not a malefactor, if he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you." What sort of justice is that? Where do you turn up to court and say to the judge, "If he hadn't committed a crime, we wouldn't have brought him to you. Therefore, it's proven." It'd be no hope, would there? But Joseph of Arimathea had not consented to the council and the deed of them. Going back to verse 2, Pilate has received these accusations, you see. King of the Jews, that's the one that's sticking with him, King of the Jews. There's a possibility of treason here. Is this man serious? Are his followers planning to overthrow King Herod? If so, we might have a case for a death penalty. And so Pilate asks him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "You say so.
It is as you say."
Jesus, verse 3 again, answered nothing. You see, Jesus was not fighting for his release. He was not fighting to be released and set free. This man is not guilty. Jesus is treading the pathway to Golgotha. He is treading the pathway to the cross. And he will not argue. He will not defend himself against these false accusations. Because he knows he's going to the cross. And Pilate in verse 4 challenges him. "Do you not answer anything? Listen to what they're saying. Listen to all these charges." And in verse 5, but Jesus still answered nothing.
Right.
He is not going to try to be set free. And it says, so that Pilate marvelled. And that Greek word marvel carries with it the idea of wonder and even admiration. Because Pilate knows what's behind all this. You see, we can look at the other Gospels and find out what Pilate knows. And when Jesus refuses to justify himself and refuses to answer the condemnation, there's an admiration there, there's a wonder there.
Yeah.
It has an effect on Pilate. Had an effect on his wife as well.
Yeah.
We don't see that in Mark's Gospel. Why? In Matthew 27, verse 23, they say to Pilate, "Let him be crucified." And Pilate says, "Why? What evil has he done?" You see, Pilate knows what they're doing, and Pilate knows that he is innocent. It's so much so that in front of the crowd in Matthew's Gospel, he washes his hands.
Yes.
A symbolic way of saying this: I am innocent of the blood of this just person. That's what he said.
Yes.
I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Yes. Yet he's in the position to make the decision. In the end, it's his decision. I'm innocent. And he says to them, the Jewish leader, you see to it.
Yeah.
In Luke 23 and verse 14, I'm just looking at some of the other Gospels and some of the comments. He said, you have brought this man unto me as one that perverts the people, and behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof you accuse him. And in verse 22 of Luke 23, he said unto them the third time, why, what evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I mean, Pilate is signing his own conviction warrant.
Yes.
Because ultimately, he is responsible. He's the Roman governor. He has the power for the death penalty. The Jews don't. And in John 18, verse 29, verse 30, we've already looked at it. What accusation? If he were not an evildoer, we wouldn't have brought him to you. You see, Jesus would do nothing to avoid the pathway to the cross. In Gethsemane, his mind was already set.
Yes.
But he prayed to the Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. If it's possible, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done.
Yes.
And when the time came, three times he prayed. And they said, right, come, let's go.
Yes.
The time has come. He's treading the pathway to the cross. Nothing will take him off that pathway to the cross. He's not going to answer at all to justify himself to get that off. He's treading the pathway appointed to him by the Father to do the Father's will.
Yes.
That's why he has come.
Amen.
Therefore, there's no resistance. For the Father, he says in John's Gospel, chapter 3, and Jesus is the one who is speaking, chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Yes.
Just like Isaac, who would not walk away from Abraham.
Yes.
He knew he was going to be, in the end, the sacrifice. There's no fight, there's no struggle.
No.
So with Jesus, he willingly goes to the cross, that the will of the Father might be done, that souls might be saved.
Yes.
That the price for sin, that he might be, as Frank pointed out earlier on, that he might be the propitiation.
Yes.
For our sins, bear the wrath of God.
Yes.
For our sins, that the Father might be appeased, that there might be a way back to God from the dark paths of sin.
Amen.
Jesus would do nothing to avoid that pathway. Peter tried to stop him in Matthew 16. Be that far from you, Lord.
Yes.
Get behind me, Satan. You savour not the things that be of God. And Pilate tries his best to get Jesus off that pathway to the cross.
Yes.
Come on, defend yourself. No, he won't.
No.
And then eventually we get the referendum. What a danger referendums are. Or should we say referenda? There's a referendum. Let the people choose.
Yes.
I've got this custom. Barabbas.
Yes.
Every year we let somebody free on your Passover. Let the people choose. Barabbas or Jesus. Surely they will choose Jesus. They won't choose Barabbas. But you see, it says in the scriptures here that Pilate knew the chief priests had delivered him from envy. For envy. Let's read verse 6. At that feast he released unto them one prisoner whomsoever they desired, and there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, had made insurrection with him, had committed murder in the insurrection. Now the Jewish people wouldn't have been too put out by that, because this was probably an attack against the Romans.
Yes.
A just cause. To the Romans he's a murderer. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered, saying, do you want me to release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy.
Yes.
But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate said, well, what about Jesus? What will you do with him, king of the Jews? And they say, crucify him. You see who they're choosing? They're choosing Barabbas.
Yes.
Barabbas means son of the Father. That's the meaning of his name.
Yes.
But Jesus is the Son of the Father. They're choosing a counterfeit one. They're choosing the wrong one.
Yes.
They're choosing the religious one, who, for no doubt for his people, the Jewish people, he was involved in the insurrection against the Romans. committed murder, but in a good cause. And the people want him to be released. You see, Barabbas is not the way of God's salvation. And in Matthew 27, verse 22, when they're shouting out, Barabbas, 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 Pilate says, what shall I do then with Jesus, the Messiah? And they all say, the whole multitude say, at the beginning, it was the whole council. Now, the whole multitude, all of them, wonder how many were there when Jesus entered Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. Those who were saying and rejoicing that Jesus was coming. Hosanna, they cried out. Hosanna, which means save now. Well, here he is to do that work of salvation. But the crowd are here, and it says the whole multitude are crying out, crucify him. Everyone is together. As Jesus is coming, the rejection is total. The whole council, the whole multitude. Pilate washed his hands, but he's still involved in the guilt. And the people answered to Pilate, his blood be on us and on our children. What a terrible thing. His blood be upon us and on our children. And Pilate, willing to content the mob,
yes,
he's making the decisions, washed his hands or not, he's making the decisions. Willing to content the mob, he released Barabbas to them, scourged Jesus, and delivered him to be crucified. The death sentence has been passed. Pilate is given permission. All that washing of hands business, no, a lot of nonsense. Jesus is handed over and left with the soldiers. And in verse 16, the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. That Praetorium was the judgment hall. And there is Jesus. And they called together, note the words again, they called together the whole band. We've got the whole council, all of the whole multitude, it says in one gospel. And here it's the whole band, all the soldiers. Hey fellas, come and join us. Bit of fun here.
Complete garrison.
They've got the whole lot. See, the picture that Mark is painting here is that everyone is against Christ.
Yes.
The sins of the whole world are going to be laid upon him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And the soldiers, they mock. They torment him. King, are you? They clothed him with purple, the colour of kings. They planted a crown of thorns, that he might have a crown as a king. And they salute him. Hail, King of the Jews! They're mocking him. They smote him. They hit him on the head with a reed. I don't think it would have been a little bit of leafy reed.
No.
It was something more like a big stick. They spat upon him. They bowed the knees in mocking worship. Possibly even their centurion was there with him, the one that would later say, truly, this was the Son of God. All these things came to pass. But you know, nothing is out of the will of God. It is prophesied in the Old Testament that these things would happen. This was what the Messiah would come to do. This was what God's suffering servant,
yes,
the Lord Jesus Christ, would come to do and would endure. You see, in Isaiah chapter 50, and verses 5 to 7, we'll just read those verses. It says, the Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. The idea of opening the ear might be to do with boring the ear as the committed servant, the one who wanted to serve his master and will not go out free. I will do what you want me to do. That's the idea behind this opening the ear. He's taking the mark of a slave, a bond slave. I want to serve my master. I want to do the will of the Father. God has opened mine ear. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. He didn't. He answered nothing.
Yes.
He answered nothing. Every opportunity of a door opening, of escape, no, he wouldn't answer. I gave my back, he said, to the smiters. Here they are. They scourged him. I gave my back to the smiters. My cheeks to them that plucked off the hair.
Yes.
I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Here it is, the soldiers. This is how they treated him. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed, I shall not be disappointed, I shall not be let down. Hallelujah.
Glory.
He set his face as a flint. He was going to the cross.
Yes.
He was going to Golgotha. No matter what they did to him, no matter what opportunities were presented for him to take another pathway, he was going the way of the cross.
Thank you, Lord.
To do the will of the Father. In Isaiah 51, the next chapter, verses 13 and 15, it says this: Behold, says the Lord, my servant, that's Jesus, my servant shall deal prudently, he shall be exalted and extolled and very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, his face.
Yes.
Marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Oh, hallelujah, so shall he sprinkle many nations.
Thank you, Lord.
The king shall shut their mouths at him, for that which hath not been told them shall they see, and that which they have not heard shall they consider. The gospel of salvation through the death of the Son of God on the cross of Calvary,
yes,
and his resurrection,
yes,
is going to go through all the nations.
Yes.
Even though we weren't there, even though we have not seen those things, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
There was a cleansing fountain opened for us when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. Or as it says in Hebrews, he endured the cross and despised the shame,
yes,
to do the will of the Father. What was it for? For the joy that was set before him. It's the joy of seeing souls saved, you and me,
yes,
cleansed by the precious blood which he shed on that cross of Calvary.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. He endured the cross. And they mocked him, and they took off the purple, verse 20, and put his own clothes on him. Jesus didn't go out naked. They put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify him. And here we have, in verse 21, the fellow we mentioned the other week, Simon the Cyrenian, coming out of the country. Father of Alexander and Rufus.
Yes.
Men had come to the faith. I don't know whether Alexander is the one that Paul mentions later on. There must have been many Alexanders in those days. But Rufus was a man who was chosen in the Lord, Paul said later on in Romans chapter 16. Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Here's Simon the Cyrenian, and they make him carry the cross. As I said the other week, and I'll say it again this week, Jesus did not stumble. It's a Roman Catholic myth.
Yes.
It's in their 14 stations of the cross, which they go through, especially at Easter.
Yes.
And they put the cross up because Jesus stumbled. No. Jesus never failed. But when Simon took that cross and followed Jesus, he was doing what every believer is called to do,
yes,
to take up the cross and follow Jesus. There it is. On the way to Calvary, there is the picture of salvation.
Yes.
Taking up the cross,
yes,
and following Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Jesus didn't fall. He didn't stumble. But Simon became a type of every believer, and what's expected of every believer, to take up the cross,
yes,
and follow Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 21, he said, take up the cross and follow me.
Yes. Glory.
Simon did that. Literally. We do it. And they come to Golgotha, the place of the skull. Golgotha, the place of the skull. Sometimes in the other Gospels it's translated, well, it's a different word. It's the word cranion, which is translated Calvary. But cranion simply means skull, or little skull.
Yeah.
What a place to go to. Skull Hill, place of death. And when they offered him wine and myrrh to drink, he would not receive it because he wasn't going to dull or pain. He'd come to suffer and to die. He wasn't going to avoid the dying, and he wasn't going to avoid the suffering. He was going to take the full cost of our salvation. He was going to take the full outpouring of the wrath of God upon him. Without any myrrh to dull the pain, he was going to take that full suffering that the wrath and the anger of God might be appeased. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And so it says in 1 John chapter 2, he is the propitiation for our sins. He is the one that appeased the wrath of the Father.
Amen.
That we might be saved. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. The third hour is 9 o'clock in the morning. And 9 o'clock in the morning, he was crucified. And above the head of Jesus is written this, which is written there really to upset the Jews. I think Pilate had enough of things, and we've got an abbreviated form of it here in Mark's Gospel. The King of the Jews.
Yes.
And the other Gospel is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And they came to him, to Pilate, in the other Gospel, and they say, don't write that, but he said that he's the King of the Jews. We don't want a confession that he is the King of the Jews. He said, what I've written, I've written. And actually, what he had written was the truth. Hallelujah.
Yes.
The King of the Jews. And there were two thieves on each side. There's no repentant thief, as we find in Luke's Gospel. But one of those thieves did ultimately turn to the Lord and sought the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come to your kingdom, remember me, he said. Today, he says, you'll be with me in paradise.
Yes.
But here it's just emphasising the two thieves are there. And you know, it's all in the prophecy of Isaiah again. Isaiah 53 and verse 12. He says this, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide his spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. There he was, with the transgressors, with the thieves, upon the cross. And all of this that he suffered was prophesied in Psalm 22. The sufferings of Jesus there.
Yes.
Coming up to the crucifixion. It's all in Psalm 22. There's nothing that happened that wasn't referred to in the scripture, because this is the will of God. And in Psalm 22, if we just read two verses there from Psalm 22, verses 7 and 8, we can see the crowds there as Jesus being crucified. And in Psalm 22, verse 7, it says, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. There's the mocking. And it's prophesied there in Psalm 22. At the sixth hour, that's at midday, when there should be bright sunshine, darkness came over the whole land. For 3 hours there was darkness.
Yes.
Why? Because Jesus was bearing our sin. The Bible says God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all.
Yes.
Jesus is alone there on the cross.
Yes.
There's no communion and fellowship with the Father. Jesus is alone. He's paying the price for our sin.
Yes.
As there's darkness over the whole land, he too is experiencing what Abraham experienced in a way. The horror of great darkness that fell upon Abraham. Well, a horror of great darkness falls upon Jesus more than any human being could tell. Because he was bearing our sin. The Son of God, the Holy One, the Pure One, the One without sin, was taking the punishment as he bore our sin. So that we might indeed know that wonderful, the meaning of that wonderful word, which is used in English as a lovely translation, propitiation. God is appeased. God is satisfied. The work has been done.
Yes.
Jesus bore our sins on that cross of Calvary. Alone. Separated from the Father. And at the ninth hour, that's 3 hours of darkness, on the ninth hour, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cries out in the words of Psalm 22 and verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yes.
It wasn't just for a short moment. There were 3 hours of darkness, and Jesus endured that separation, and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And praise God that he did cry that out, that we might know what he went through for us.
Yes.
And Jesus cried with a loud voice. It doesn't say in Mark's Gospel what he shouted out. But it does tell us in John's Gospel. Tetelestai. It is finished. It's accomplished. It's done. And then another Gospel says, he then, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. And he died. The work of salvation was completed. It's declared there in John's Gospel. What he shouted with a loud voice, not revealed by Mark, but revealed by John, it is accomplished. It's done.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And therefore, that last verse that we read, because the work is done, because the price for human sin, all human sin has been paid for.
Yes.
I don't believe in any partial salvation. I believe that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. The opportunity is there for everyone.
Yes.
To receive salvation.
Amen.
Because the work has been done.
Amen.
And because the work has been done, when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That was a work of God, from top to bottom. Hallelujah.
Glory.
From heaven itself, it's torn, because an entrance is now available.
Yes.
Into the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
Into the very presence of God. We can go in
to
the very presence of God. And And we can see that tremendous picture there of the veil being torn. The way is made possible because Jesus died for our sins. And in Hebrews chapter 10, 12 to 14, it says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." And in verse 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil," that is to say his flesh, "and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open that all may go in.
Amen.
That Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Praise the Lord. Amen.